This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the Old Trailblazer, bringing you God's message, riding out old Dan at this time. Come on, Dan, let's go. Got to get a getting, and we get down there where the folks are standing around waiting for the Old Trailblazer to come by and bring a message. And we're happy to have you folks with us. Many, many of you now are maybe hearing us for the first or second time or a few times. And I just wanted to mention, this is the Old Trailblazer, Pastor Albert Pendarvis, pastor here at Radio Missions, First Baptist Church of Algiers, where we were in New Orleans for many, many, many years under the leadership of Pastor L.R. Shelton. But now we're in Walker, Louisiana. The Lord has blessed us, given us a new chapel, a new bookstore, and a new home for a parsonage. And folks are coming and helping us with the broadcast, and we just appreciate it. I don't know why folks would tune in listening to an old corn pone like me. I just butchered the King's English and don't know a whole lot about God's Word, but I just know how the Lord saves a sinner. Do you know that, my friend? Can you tell someone how the Lord saves you? The Bible says, always be ready to give an account of the hope that you have within you. Can you do that? I hope you can. You don't have to be a long, flowery message. No, just a simple, you know, the Lord awakened me to my lost condition, brought me down as a lost sinner, showed me I needed Christ. Along that line, that's what I do. That's all I do, my friend. I don't have no flowery testimony and all that miraculous thing. I had a man wrote me the other day, said, you believe in miracles? And he went on to tell me about a miracle in his life. And it was the fact that he had been in a car accident and almost killed and blah, 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 blah. And he never mentioned one word about salvation. I wrote him back and I said, well, I believe in miracles and I believe you had a miracle in your life. You weren't killed. But write me and tell me how the Lord saved. And let's just talk about the Lord. But I have a gracious song queued up for you, one of our radio choir songs. Now, and I want to play that for you, and then we'll get started in our message again. We have 9 full-length CDs just jam-packed with the old songs. What Can Wash Away My Sins? Nothing But the Blood. And all a related songs like that. And they're $5 a piece. I'd be glad to send you some of them if you'd like. Just write me, call me, I'll send them to you. And if you don't like them, give them to somebody else and I'll give you money back. So let's get back to our study now. And we came down there to where Jacob, when he was dying, blessed his sons of Joseph. Blessed those two boys of Joseph. And Joseph brought those two boys there to be blessed. He wanted them to be identified with God's people. Are you concerned about your children, my friend? Can they run out at night and drink and carouse around and you don't care? Oh, my friend, but listen. Do you want your children and grandchildren to be identified with God's people? I do. I do, my friend. I pray for them. I have three children, three grown children. Now, are you interested in seeing that they make a place in the world? In the world, I'm telling you, folks in Radio Land, as much as just as I'm talking to you, and I am. I'm just it's like you was here in this audit, right here in my studio. Jacob, in blessing these two sons, said, "They're mine." Notice how the grace of God overruled and placed these two sons at the head of two tribes of the children of Israel, Ephraim and Manasseh. That's what it meant. They're mine. He said, they're mine. Now, another great truth you want to notice, when Jacob blessed them, he crossed his hands and put his right hand on Ephraim and the younger and his left hand upon Manasseh the elder, which displeased Joseph. And he said to his father, "Manasseh is the oldest, the firstborn." And the father refused and said, "I know it, my son, I know it." Here we see grace overruling the flesh. How many times have we had to take a definite stand against our loved ones because we knew and know the direct will of God? It's no easy matter, my friend, to take a stand against your own loved one. It's not. It's not easy to witness to them, my friend, no. And it's grace when they come to you and say, "I'll pray for me, I'm lost. Pray for me, I'm lost." When Jacob's faith was tested, he could not set contrary to the will of God. No, he could not go off against the will of God or act contrary to the will of God or to be influenced by the will of a man, even if it was his son. God's minister can't. You can't, my friend. You can't do it. Don't waver. Just take a stand. Take a stand. That's right. When all else fails, just take a stand. Now, let's notice that last expression. And Jacob worshipped leaning on the top of his staff. That's about where we were when our last study, when we stopped. This reveals the fact that Jacob bowed into submission of Jehovah God. He recognized that Jehovah was his God. He worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. In Genesis 47:29, we find Jacob facing the end of his earthly life, and he had Joseph put under oath that he would not bury him in the land of Egypt, but take him back and bury him with his fathers in the land of Canaan. I believe that verse. In 47, I believe it's the 49th and 49th verse. "Bury him in the land of his fathers," Genesis 47:30 and 49:29. "Now, Joseph, put your right hand under my thigh," he said, "and take an oath. Don't bury me here." Go back there and read that, if you will, Genesis 47. You get a better picture of it than I can give you here. Now, that's another point of faith in Jacob's life. He was dying. Oh, Jacob was dying. You're going back to the land of Canaan someday. And I don't want my bones left behind here. No, I sure don't. That'll have the wrong influence on this people. But will teach them that I don't believe those promises. I don't. If you bury me here, then you'll always say, "Well, Jacob was buried here. He didn't believe those promises. He didn't look forward to going back." But listen, Joseph, take me back to Canaan. Bury me with Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Rebekah. Bury me there with my people who fell in the battle line of our blessed Lord. And then they'll say, "Well, the old patriarch believed. He believed the promise of God." Isn't that great, my friend? Yeah, that's maybe a peculiar thing to you, but it made a lot of difference there. This revealed the great fact that he believed the promises of God and that his people would be brought back into the land of Canaan. He did not want any connection or relationship in any way with idolatrous Egypt. He wanted to be identified with his people in death as well as in life. Now, let's look forward just a little bit ahead. Remember what Joseph told his people? "Don't bury my body here." They embalmed him, kept him there until they left out, till they moved out. But here we find, reveal the fact that Jacob looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. He wanted his body carried back to that resting place in Canaan, which is a type of heaven. And now, we call that dying faith. Dying faith. Can you relate to this, my friend? Jacob, when he came to die, by faith. Listen, by faith. Through faith. By faith. Now, these promises are indelibly printed into the believer's heart. You can't get away from it. You can't erase them. There they are. There's where they ought to be, and that's where they will be, and there's where they will stay. Now, man, my friend, the promises of God. Old Jacob, he had the promises of God. Now, let me talk to you just a moment who don't know the Lord. If you haven't come into that blood relationship with the Lord, that covenant relationship with Christ, I wouldn't rest, my friend. I wouldn't. Oh, that you'd want that birthright, just like old Jacob wanted. He wanted that birthright. Don't despise it like Esau did. Well, I don't care if I'm saved or not. I've heard folks say that. Just so I have my own way. Just so I feel I'm filled with the lust and pleasures of this life. That's all I'm interested in. And I don't care whether I'm ever saved. I just want my own way, cries that old rebellious devil, despising his birthright. No, God won't save you if that's the way you feel about it. Now, you may struggle. You may do many things and die dealing with you. I know. It folks have ruined several thousand gallons of water being baptized when they wasn't saved. But listen, when I found out that I didn't have the Lord, I wasn't ashamed. Oh, no. No, I wanted to stand and take a stand that I wanted to come to know the Lord, not to get off somewhere and quit. No, I didn't have no place to quit. I didn't have no place to go back to. Now, after an all-night struggle, oh, but listen, that's what the old trailblazer had told me one time, and believe God has saved him, rejoicing. And now, we'll look at that in a later study. But now we're going to turn over to that 22nd verse. It says, by faith, Joseph. Now, we're talking about individual characters. We're not hurrying, and no, we don't make haste with the word of God. Hebrews 11:22, by faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Remember what I just told you a minute ago? That's a peculiar statement.